Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 54th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. So today I'm really excited to share this conversation with Jonah Emerson Bell, who is the co-host of the Stallion and the Hare podcast with Amalia Scott. They are both absolutely incredible humans and astrologers and tarot readers. I recommend both of them for astrological insights. And it's cool because their podcast is kind of like a it's like a self-help. You know, a lot of astrology podcasts really are self-help podcasts. And Amalia and Jonah have this vibe where it's very much like an anarchist vibe as well. And I appreciate that. And Jonah is also a really dear friend of mine. And I asked him to be on the podcast a while ago because I think his story, his personal narrative, is one that is really important and really inspiring in these times. We've now been in shelter in place for more than two months, and now that states are starting to reopen, you know, a lot of us are feeling a lot of pain and a lot of grief for what's to come. We've already lost 100,000 people in the U.S. to COVID-19, and that feels really excruciating. It feels monumentally painful. And I'm here to hold space for folks through that. Because honestly, I don't believe that shit's gonna get better. And Jonah and I talk about this a little bit with the Pluto-Saturn conjunction that happened this year, and how many of us astro nerds have been preparing for a lot of loss and a lot of struggle in 2020. And here it is. And this is what it looks like. We weren't sure what it was going to look like, and now we know. So I've been vacillating between all kinds of states of being, but I also kind of feel like I'm here for this. I feel like I was made for these times. Since I was a child, I always thought about the end of the world and like famine and oppression and government, you know, government oppression, state-sanctioned violence. Even when I didn't really have the framework to understand why those things would happen or why greed exists, I still don't understand why greed exists. I still don't understand why people are making $1 billion and are not sharing that wealth. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even really, to be honest with you, understand how people are making more than $100,000 and not sharing their wealth. And I know I'm, you know, a single person with no children living in the Mojave Desert in a really cheap rental situation. So I have a lot more room to not have to make very much money. And then if I make enough to make my basic needs, it's easy for me to practice mutual aid in some way. So I'm really lucky in that way. And I know not everybody is. I know that when you move into cities, like the standard of living, it costs a lot more. But I digress. So I really wanted to have this conversation with Jonah because we're in, you know, 2 months into shelter in place. We're watching the collapse of a system that many of us knew for a long time wasn't working, a system that has since the beginning been incredibly violent and oppressive to Black and brown folks, and erased the identities and realities of queer folks, and has continued to oppress Indigenous groups as well, amongst other things. There's so many things wrong, but it's so obvious to so many who weren't paying attention now, and there's grief in that. And I wanted to talk with Jonah because I'm really, really inspired by him and his journey with recovery from alcohol and opiate addiction and abuse, and the way that he was able to go to astrology and tarot and magic and witchcraft and wizardry to bring him to a better place. I just feel so honored and grateful to have Jonah in my life, because I think for those of us that have lived through addiction, you know, those of us that have been institutionalized because of mental health, because of overdose, who are, you know, those of us who are survivors of overdose, survivors of suicide, survivors of the institution in some way, like incarceration or institutionalization because of mental health or addiction. It's a different world for us. You know, it's like, it's a different reality, like day-to-day life is different. And for me, it's always been hard for me to fully be able to be vulnerable and relate to folks who haven't experienced any of this. And I also, in my personal life, am not super open about my own struggles. I mean, I haven't even really, like, I haven't even been open about the full story about the experiences that I have. And I probably won't. If you want to read more about it, you can join my Patreon. I do share a little bit more about my experience there. But self-preservation is important. And, you know, I'm struggling myself with my own mental health, having this public platform. It feels like something that's important and needed. And I feel lucky that I am working for myself and that I get to be really committed to my own authentic narrative. But it's hard for my mental health to be someone who's like a public person to some extent. Not that I'm that popular or whatever, but you know, it's a struggle. So I'm extremely grateful, like beyond words, for my friendship with Jonah and for my other friendships with people that understand what it's like to have lived through your own body's desire to self-destruct. Because it's a thing, again, like if you haven't been through it, there's no way that you can understand. I mean, maybe like if you worked really hard, but I think it's like any type of institutional oppression. If you haven't had to fight for your own life because of your own mental health, because of your own addiction, it's hard. I can imagine it would be hard to understand. And it would be easy to say the things that we hear so much in this culture, so many dismissive things about, you know, why don't you just smile? Why don't you just think about the bright side of things? How about trying yoga? Have you tried to eliminate gluten? You know, like all the things people do that are essentially telling you that your experience is invalid and that it's because you're not a strong person. I have heard that my whole life. Like it's only in the last few years that I've surrounded myself with people that validate me. And, you know, I'm still in a bad place because the relationship I had that was incredibly validating and loving, and the person that I could go to and always say what I was going through and get so much support on the other end, passed away more than 6 months ago. Before all of this COVID shit, the Pluto-Saturn conjunction shit happened. So it's hard. It's hard to like feel like our voices are heard when we've been through, you know, the institution, and the institution has devalued our experience, and the institution has pathologize what we're going through or blamed it or made us feel weak or made us feel alone in some way. So I am so happy again that Jonah was willing to share his story. I think that, you know, this could be triggering if you're someone that has dealt with suicidal ideation or addiction or overdose. It could be triggering or upsetting. So I just want to say that. But I also think that we have to learn how to talk about this stuff with each other. We have to learn how to talk about these things because they're more common than mainstream society wants us to think. And one of the reasons that I think it's not common for us to hear these narratives is because we live in capitalism. There's no place in capitalism for people with disabilities if we want to talk about addiction and mental health as being a disability, because these things in capitalism very much are considered so. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. I'm really excited. Tarot Summer School is pretty much full at this point. If you're listening to this right when it comes out, you can check the website and there might be a couple of spots left. But I've made some offers for sliding scale and payment plans to people. And if I hear back from all those people before anybody registers, there will be no spots. So you can go to the website and see if there's any spots for Wednesday. But because of all this interest, I am really deeply considering doing at least one more session this summer, maybe starting late July or early August. So the best way to find out about that is join the mailing list. Go to www.riseupgoodwitch.com or join the Patreon. And again, like, the Patreon is what helps me sustain this podcast. It helps me do a lot of mutual aid organizing and mutual aid work, like donating a lot of herbal medicines. I have a bunch of new products coming out within the next couple weeks, and I'm really excited to be making a lot of donations and sliding scale options for folks that couldn't otherwise afford it. So if you go to patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch, you can subscribe. It's $5 a month. You can join at $2 a month, but for $5 a month, you get a 25% discount on all live tarot readings, a 20% apothecary discount, and tons of extra content. I've been really amping up my flower essence game lately. It is a end goal for me to be able to do flower essence consults, so I've been taking Liz from Sister Spinster's flower essence class, and I'm just really like diving into my own education right now. But I've been doing and sharing a lot of the flower essence case studies I've been working with, and if you're a patron, you might be able to participate in one of them in the future. And it really just helps, like, these small little donations help this podcast. It helps me continue to do the work. And yeah, you get discounts, and you'll be the first to know when and if another Tarot Summer School class drops. If you join the Patreon, I'll announce it first there, give my patrons dibs on spots, and also like a small discount if they register right away. So consider joining the Patreon if you like this work. And also, if you like what Jonah has to say, I recommend joining his Patreon. He has a lot of content on there, a lot of interesting stuff. My favorite is Coffee with Jonah, which is Jonah talking. So if you like listening to Jonah talk, you will like Coffee with Jonah. So remember to rate and review the podcast on iTunes if you feel called, if you want to get this work out to more people. Please share on Instagram, on your favorite social media platform, on your mailing lists. This means so much. Independent DIY media really needs your support in this way. And check out the Stallion and the Hare podcast also if you're interested in astrology. They do an episode every full and new moon, so I totally recommend it. It's one of my go-to podcasts for astrology. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jonah Emerson Bell of Blind Stallion Space Wizard. Today I am speaking with Blind Stallion Space Wizard and co-host of the Stallion and the Hare podcast and very dear friend, Jonah Emerson Bell. Hi, Jonah.
Hi, Karina. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so happy to be sharing this conversation with you. So for folks who aren't aware of your work, they don't know who you are, can you give us a little bit of background just about what you do and what your offerings are? And maybe how you identify, like who you are in general, like how you see yourself in the world?
Certainly. Okay. So I identify as a wizard. I go by he, him. I am a tarot reader, an astrologer. I'm also a recovery and transformational coach. I just got certified in doing that. I have a certification in hypnosis and integrative hypnosis. What else? I'm sober. I've been clean and sober since, April 5th of 2014. So I got a little over 6 years of sobriety, which, you know, is done wonders for me, because I wasn't doing so well before. And, you know, all of the things that I just shared, you know, being an astrologer, being a tarot reader, being a wizard, like, that all comes out of sobriety. Like, I wasn't capable of doing those things before I quit drinking and doing opiates. So, you know, I'm working with people on an individual basis in a coaching relationship. I'm doing tarot and astrology. I have an astrology-based radio show, which is like a mixtape for all the astro transits of the week. I have a podcast, like you mentioned, The Stallion and the Hare, with a wonderful astrologer, Amalia Scott, of The Hare and the Moon. And then, yeah, so I do that. I have a Patreon. I drop a lot of content for that. Basically, I try and keep myself busy.
Yeah. And your work is really awesome. And we connected, I guess, like over a year ago when we both moved to Joshua Tree around the same time. And it's interesting because, you know, we're born really close to the same time. Like, you were born like 2 weeks before me. So I felt like and, you know, being like an ex-punk / still a punk, and, you know, being a tarot reader, having like a lot of anarchist values, and being in recovery to some degree, you know, I feel like I felt instantly really bonded with you, and just like really inspired by your stories. And I love talking to you about astrology, and we have so many of the same transits, which is really interesting. So I really wanted to, you know, open this space for us to have this conversation, and, you know, you to share your story a little bit about like tarot and astrology and how those have been tools for you in recovery and transformation. And also, like, you know, we talk a lot about like being a Cancer North Node. And I'm sort of curious, you know, I sort of have been wanting to ask you about that, because the North Node entered Gemini a couple weeks ago, or even just like a week ago or something. And yeah, I mean, I kind of want to start there. Like, what has it been like? What do you think, what was it like for your nodal return?
Nodal return was really intense for me, as I think it should be, you know. And like, I'm also going through like Pluto square Saturn, like Neptune square Neptune, yep. Right? Like, which you are also. Yeah. And I think actually, it's so cool that we have this similar astrology, right? That we come from, we're generationally the same. We can't come from the same generation of, and are both like anarchists and, aging punks, because punk's not dead, it's just sleeping, it's just taking a nap, right? But, you know, that we can relate to these things. And you know, having my nodal return was a lot about me having to get real with what I'm doing with my life and letting go of old systems that are no longer serving me. And so, right, collectively, we had the Capricorn and the South Node, where we're looking at kind of hierarchical, patriarchal, misogynistic, white supremacist systems, capitalist systems that are prioritizing the system itself over the individual. And we're needing to really look at that. We still need to really look at that, right? Just because things have moved on doesn't mean that like we're not still doing the work. But we've needed to really examine that collectively and let that shit go and compost it. In favor of moving to the Cancer North Node, which is about individual security, individual safety, emotional security, feeling okay to express who you are, feeling okay to be vulnerable, and prioritizing those things over the system, right? And it's really interesting in the news, sort of this rhetoric about how we need to start the country up, right? And individuals need to let go of their own fear for their own safety so that we can start the economy up, which I think that's a bunch of fucking bullshit, right? And that's not what we learned with this nodal axis, right? With the Cancer North Node is about prioritizing individual safety and security and emotional security over what your boss needs. So that being said, and I guess this is a place that we're learning to integrate that, and we're all making our own individual decisions around this, hopefully. For me, it's looked a lot like having to find a home. I spent the past 2 years traveling around in my van being like, where am I going to live? What am I going to do? You know, I have this desire to be of service. I have this desire to be working towards the better good. But I was just traveling around aimlessly. And really, in that process, which was really helpful for me, there was a lot of like sacrificing my own feelings, pushing my own feelings away just to get through, which is some Capricorn shit right there. Yeah. And for me, it's looked like finding a home, finding stability, finding a place where I can become vulnerable. My North Node is in the eighth house, which is really about vulnerability and about intimacy and having to connect with myself and my own emotional needs and be able to be vulnerable in that way, which is legitimately terrifying for me.
Word. Yeah, totally. And it always, so I like quote you all the time because last summer, I asked if you would do like a recording natal chart analysis for me. And then I like forgot to listen to it until I like had this night where I like drove all the way from like Southern Oregon to Joshua Tree. I'd like pulled an all nighter. I stopped and saw a friend in Sacramento and then like drank a bunch of gas station coffee, like drove slow and like pulled over a lot if I needed to rest. And then I like arrived in, you know, Old Woman Springs Road, like near Joshua Tree, like when the sun was coming up, and I pulled over and like listened to the chart reading you did for me and like cried. And one of the things that you said was about having a Cancer North Node. You said, now I'm gonna like, I'm probably gonna paraphrase it wrong, but it was something like part of our journey is like, we're leading the people to the valley. Like we're taking the people up the mountain. We're leading them into the valley, but we're gonna perish on the mountain when they get free. And like, I was like, damn, that resonates. So I always quote you on that because that is sort of what it feels like in these times. And I don't think that's specific for, I feel like that's specific for a lot of people that are doing healing work, especially, you know, people from marginalized backgrounds, people that have histories of, you know, addiction, like mental health stuff, trauma, the people that are working class that don't have access to a lot of financial resources, like doing healing work in these times does kind of feel like that. Because, you know, I was always like I thought astrology was funny. Like I would carry around the, you know, that purple book that's like everything you ever wanted to know about astrology. It's like really big. Yeah, I got that at a garage sale when I lived in a punk house like 15 years ago. And I would just be like, everyone I met, I'd be like, I'm going to find out what your sun, moon, and rising is. But I didn't know about it. And the first astrology class I took was in 2016 during the peak of like my issues with substance abuse. And I learned about Pluto and I learned about the Pluto Saturn conjunction in 2020. And I feel like, you know, we were all preparing for it. Like everybody who's into astrology was like preparing for 2020 to be fucked up. And then here we are, you know, and like, I keep telling people that don't believe in astrology. I'm like, you don't get it. Like we knew this was coming. Like we knew this was going to come because of the Pluto Saturn conjunction. So that's my tangent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad that you brought that up. That reading that I gave you, and thank you so much. I'm really glad that was helpful for you. And I love hearing that people cry, or like I love when clients or people that I work with cry. Like I love it when I cry during readings because I'm like, okay, this is like the truth coming through.
Yeah.
It feels like it hits a resonance and like all I can do is cry. And that's when I'm like, okay, like this shit is working. You know, I don't know what it is still. You know, I've been practicing this for like 6 years now and I'm like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how this works, but it does. And it's crazy, you know? And I think about that a lot. And I think about, you know, Moses in the Old Testament who brought the people to the promised land and couldn't go in. You know, and that sort of archetypical story of being like, yeah, it's not about me getting to paradise. It's not about us getting to like whatever utopian dream. It's about us doing the work so other people can get there because we like legitimately, we are all in this together, you know? And, you know, this whole, the whole idea that no one can be saved until we're all saved, right? Like, no one can be enlightened until we're all enlightened. And that it's not about me getting to the place that I want to be. It's me helping everybody, doing the work that I can do to help whoever needs it to get to where we're all trying to go. And I think that's really powerful. I also, I'm glad that you sort of brought up that, you know, being in the space of addiction and finding astrology, right? Finding something that makes sense in all of this senselessness, which I think is really the beauty of astrology, of tarot, of divination, of witchcraft, is that it helps us to make sense of a world that is really senseless, you know? And it's given me the opportunity to create my own stories around life to make life meaningful. Because, you know, right now we're in this space where the North Node has just moved into Gemini, the South Node has moved into Sagittarius. And so this is the opposition between like belief and what is true. And you can't see my air quotes, but I'm making them. And then information, right? And as we move into the space, nothing is true. Right? Nothing is true. It's just information and just for us to make our own truth. And we can live in a world that is deterministic, where it is hierarchical, where nothing makes any sense, where things just happen randomly. Or we can live in a world where everything is alive and where everything has meaning and everything has archetypical value. And we can choose our own adventure and live in a world that is alive and meaningful, or we can live in a world that is vacuous. And that's up to you, right? Whatever gets you through the day. I feel a lot better living in a world where objects have souls, where the planet is a living entity, where I am connected to other people through an invisible web of interconnectivity, where there are spirits, there are ancestors, there are ghosts, there is life after death. And that is comforting to me. And that is a cosmology that makes a lot of sense and helps me to get through my day-to-day life. But, you know, that shit is up to you. Like, we all get to make our own choices here.
Definitely. And it's interesting doing client work sometimes. And, you know, I always preface everything. Someone wrote me a review recently. It was funny. They were like, and this is a thing that comes up for me a lot, where they're like, if you want a feel-good reading where someone's going to tell you what you want to hear, Karina is not the reader for you. But it's like a good, you know, but nobody's ever been like, you're an asshole. Like, no one's ever been like mad at me. But I do tell people, like, this is real. Like, I'm not even talking to you about my opinions. I'm just telling you what's coming through. And it might not be what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. And this kind of makes me think a little bit about Chiron. I'm reading this book, and I was going to text you and recommend it to you, but then I was like, I'll just bring it up on the podcast. It's called Chiron, Rainbow Bridge Between the Inner and Outer Planets.
Barbara Hand Clow.
Yes. So I thought that was really interesting, and I know that we've talked a little bit about, you know, the Chiron and Taurus generation, and my feeling about it is, like, Chiron and Taurus is, like, the tail end of the Gen X and the beginning of the millennial. So I always thought, like, okay, Chiron and Taurus, at least from like a Western American, so-called United States perspective, I feel like there's this, you know, Gen X, we're still riding the coattails of the baby boomers, like the economy. And then the millennials have inherited a broken world, or like, I shouldn't even say broken because it was designed to be this way. So like the millennials have inherited an economy that's incredibly hard to, you know, like, it's trickle down capitalism has become incredibly, and it always was, like, incredibly toxic. So I kind of like think a lot about that from an economic standpoint with Chiron and Taurus, and just this like belief that we still should be able to work for like our quote unquote like piece of the pie, and how unrealistic that is. So I'm kind of curious to hear like your opinion and thoughts, because I know you have a different, you know, you have some other ideas about Chiron and Taurus.
Yeah, you know, I have my personal relationship to Chiron and Taurus, but yeah, I just want to address sort of generationally. We have Chiron, who is talked about as the wounded healer, right? It's where we have this wound in our chart. There are several places that we have wounds in our chart. Uranus can be a wound. Pluto is more of a generational wound. Chiron is kind of an individual wound, right? Are like core wounding in this life, and it's less from previous lives. It's also like a generational planet or a planetoid. But yeah, so we have Taurus, which is about resources, right? Connection to the earth, but also our resources, money, finances, the body, whether it rules the second house, which is really about these things, you know, what you have as resources. And with a wound there, you know, this whole generation of people is like, I don't have what I need. I don't have what it takes, you know, and it's really this division of have and have nots. And being like, oh, the myth is if you just work harder, then you can have that. And this is being peeled back again and again and again, where it's like, you can work as hard as you fucking want and you're not going to have it because it was handed to somebody else. Maybe like one in a million will get it, but you know, it's just like resources are handed around in a circle and then everybody else is scraping for whatever scraps they can gather, right? And so, you know, there's been interesting adaptations of this, like dumpstering, I think is a really cool adaptation of this where you're like, cool, like I'll just get these resources, which are here, you know, which I also see as sort of it's like healing a wound of excess and waste, but it's also perpetuating a wound of being like, I am eating food that is spoiled, right? I'm not eating the freshest food. I'm not eating the things that are the best for my body. Body is also a Taurus thing. Body is also our most important resource. And that sort of brings me to my personal relationship with it. And I have the moon conjunct Chiron, which I'm pretty sure is a signature for addiction. Right, because it's the wound connected to the emotional body. And with the way that I associate the Chiron in Taurus is me not wanting to be in this body. Me like not wanting to be in this world, me wanting to check the fuck out, me feeling really uncomfortable in my body, not knowing what to do with it. And for me, like that led to addiction because that's the only way that I felt all right to be here was through drugs and alcohol. Which worked for a long time until it stopped working. Mm-hmm. And when it stopped working, it was pretty drastic and shitty. And it's funny because I'm also really stubborn, so I didn't really get the memo that it stopped working. Like, everybody around me realized that, but I, like, kept going for another, like, 4 years, probably, like, after, like, my coping mechanism disintegrated and was not really functioning anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, and, you know, one of the reasons I really wanted to talk with you, besides the fact that you're, like, a totally brilliant witch, I guess wizard, sorry, you're a totally brilliant wizard.
I identify as a witch, too.
Okay. One reason is, like, I think your perspective of being someone who's in recovery is really important, and I think there's, like, you know, a lot of folks have struggled with addiction. A lot, you know, for me, like my bigger addiction, like my bigger issue is that I had an eating disorder for like many, many years. So like alcohol and like drugs were just like another part of that. But I think like so many people struggle with addiction, struggle with eating disorders, with depression, you know, all these things. And yet we don't, you know, suicidal ideation is another one. And like, yet it is not, even though there's like a hype now about like being more open about talking about mental illness and like talking about mental health, I think when we're talking about like, yeah, there's like certain ways that it's still incredibly stigmatized and it's people want to keep it really, really hidden. So I really wanted you to, you know, share what you're comfortable sharing about your process and like, you know, how you were able to get to where you're at today and like how you were able to use tarot and astrology as a tool.
I want to say like 30 things at once. And I'm just trying to order my thoughts. You know, I think that no one wants to stand up and be like, I can't do it. I'm all fucked up. I need help. You know, no one wants to be like, I drove my life off a cliff. Right. There's a stigma around that. There's shame, there's embarrassment. You know, I think that there's a lot of, you got to just do it. You got to power through. You got to just make it work. I don't know if that's my perception as a male-bodied person and the sort of construct that I was living in. And I think in retrospect, I think a lot of getting sober, a lot of addiction and getting sober has really shaped my idea around masculinity, what it means to be a male-bodied person, and then also around humanity, like what it means to show up for oneself, for one's soul path, and for one's community. And, you know, for me, you know, I never wanted to admit that I had a problem, like, that wasn't something that was acceptable really in my family. And in my community, I just hung out with people who drank all the time, right? We find our own. And I still am really good friends with a lot of these people. Some of them, you know, our relationships were only based around drugs and alcohol, and those people have faded away. Other people I'm still close with. But, you know, you're sitting at the bar and somebody's like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. And everybody's like, yeah, me too. And everybody's like, okay, great. Like, whatever. Let's have another round. You know, no one's like, I need help. I can't do this anymore. And, to get to that point, I was on the brink of killing myself. I was just on a long bender. A friend of mine had passed away. Things were not working out well. I had no mechanisms to be able to cope with reality or life on life's terms. And there was this whole sort of shattering of my persona, right? My perception of the world, like who I thought of myself as. And I was, you know, addicted to opiates. I was using heroin intravenously. I was in a really complicated relationship. And I found myself one day on the train platform. I was living in New York City at the time on my way to work. I was on my way to work and I was already drunk. And it was like 11 a.m. I was an hour late for work. I was already drunk on this train platform. And I was like, I am fucking miserable. I am miserable. I hate this. I can't stop drinking. Every time I get drunk, I just like start doing opiates. I'm like starting to get sick and it's not working. And if I keep doing opiates, if I keep shooting heroin, I'm going to be a junkie. This is like, I see this path before me and I can't stop it. I'm powerless to stop it. And the only way out is probably to jump in front of this next train. And then I was like, holy shit, before I do that, well, I thought about my mom and I was like, that would destroy her. And I can't do that to my mom. And then I thought about a good friend of mine who I've known since high school, who's been sober, she had 12 years then, I think. Something like that. And I was like, okay, instead of jumping in front of this train, I'm gonna call this person up and see if they can help me. And if that doesn't work out, I can always jump in front of another train. They run these shits all night long, right? It's New York City, there's always another train. And so I got into the train instead of in front of it, which is maybe the best decision that I've ever made. And I went to work that day and I called my friend and I was like, yo, I need some help. And I went back to Boston to my mom's house and got clean there. And then, you know, I went to AA as part of how I got sober, because that was an option that was available to me and that's what worked for me. You know, there's many ways to do it. AA kind of has a stigma and I have my own issues with it, but I think that for me, it was really good to have the support of a community, people that I could share my experience with, accountability. These were all really valuable to me and like learning tools and techniques from other people. So, you know, that really helped me out. But, you know, in the first sort of week of sobriety, just sitting there, like shaking, going through the DTs, being like, I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. And I remember having this, this gripping fear of, that all of these emotions, all of this like sensitivity that I had experienced, as a young person, those things coming back with a vengeance, right? That's part of why I started drinking is because I was really fucking sensitive. I was really empathic and it was excruciating to walk down the street and to look into other people's eyes and to feel like I felt their pain and not know how to manage that, to feel like I was fucking crazy, that sucked. And so I just started drinking and that shit went away. And so when I stopped drinking, I was like, oh my God, it's going to come back and I'm going to be overwhelmed by this. I'm not going to be able to handle it. And then I was like, you know what? I think motherfuckers have been dealing with this shit for a while now. I'm probably not the first person who's been really sensitive. And I think that other people have probably found out tools and techniques to manage this. And then I was like, that's right, magic. That's a tool and technique to manage sensitivity. And I remember sort of in tandem with this, I was like, what did I like doing before I was a fucking total alcoholic drug addict? And I was like, oh yeah, I was really into reading stuff about esoteric societies, secret societies, magic, the occult. Let me just get back into that. And so I went to my local wizard bookstore and I bought a couple books. One of them that I remember was Maria Gonzalez Whipler's book called Magic, Spells, and Symbols. Something like that. I'll text you, which is a great encyclopedia of witchcraft and magic. And she's a fantastic author. I've read several of her books. But my DTing hand just grabbed that one. And I was like, oh, maybe this will be good. And I bought it and I read it. And I was like, holy shit, like, this is what I've been thirsting for. And like, one of the pieces of that was, as a magician, as a witch, as a magical person, having a system of divination to check in with yourself, to connect with something bigger than yourself, to connect with the universe, to connect with chance and synchronicity. And I was like, oh yeah, I bought this tarot deck that for some reason I had with me. And so I just started studying the cards. And that's kind of how this journey began.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I am really glad that you were able to get help and like ask for help. And, you know, because you brought up like being, you know, a male identified person and, you know, masculinity, it does feel like, and I can only speak from my experience as being someone who's assigned female at birth, it feels like that's a part of like toxic masculinity and patriarchy, and that is so looked down upon to like ask for help. And I think it's still really looked down upon to ask for help for femmes as well. But it's, you know, I think you being able to overcome that and just, you know, go and realize like magic was your way out or your way through, and that your experience is universal, is like extremely powerful. And I also think that part of the world that we live in, like living in this like really individualistic society, is that we can often all struggle with disconnection because we think what we're going through is ours and ours alone to carry the burden of. And the reality is that so many of us are dealing with these issues and yeah, like not talking about them just seems to make it worse.
Oh my God, yes. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, that space of disconnection. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that I have a suspicion that it's a capitalist plot.
Yeah.
You know? Right. But like capitalism is all about individuality, right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, the myth of the rugged individual, right? Who's sort of bending the forces of nature to their will, which is also like, that's also a magical concept, and I think that's interesting, sort of that weird parallel between like using your will to bend the forces of nature. But anyway, that's a different sidebar. And I think, yeah, as a, that space of toxic masculinity being like, you know, you can't ask for help, or you're weak if you ask for help. And then moving through that and being like, oh my God, it's so much easier on the other side. And it's not about me doing what I want to do. It's not me succeeding and like being famous and like making a bunch of money, right? Or being like this famous artist, which is what I wanted when I was using, you know, it's a being on the other side. I'm like, oh, it's more about me connecting with my true self and helping other people, whatever that looks like. And I think that the space of disconnection, of isolation, of being like, this is my burden to bear. Like, no one understands, no one can help me. Like, I think that's something that I felt in my addiction. I think that's from people that I've talked to, that's very common, you know, and we're all in this space of feeling isolated, feeling cut off, feeling alone, feeling like no one understands. And it's so important to demystify that and connect with other people and be like, hey, what is your experience? You know, how did you manage your addiction? What did, you know, what does it feel like to be alone? What does it feel like to be in community? Because there's all this shame around being like, yeah, I can't stop fucking drinking, you know, like, now I don't know how I feel about it. I need to check in with myself, but it's like shameful to be like, I can't handle it. I can't do this. But it's also really empowering because once you're like, I can't do this, you're like, okay, cool. Let me change this. Right. It's not that easy. Like the change takes a lot of work, you know, but this feeling of being like, I am alone, I'm separate, I'm different, I'm isolated. That's what keeps us disempowered, right? As addicts, and as individuals living in a capitalist system, which is all about the sort of way it functions in my mind is being like, you're not good enough. You're inherently flawed, but that's okay. If you consume these products, you'll be able to fit in. You'll be good enough, right? And maybe you'll even be better than other people and they will look up to you. And that's a really like sinister control device, you know. And I think that I'm just gonna keep yammering because I've drank a lot of caffeine today. If
I love
you don't
it.
Mind.
It's gone. Yeah.
All right. And I think that one of the things that brings up in just maybe as a human thing, but definitely us addicts feel this very deeply, is this sense that something is missing, that there's a void, that we are lacking or incomplete, and this sort of internal monologue, this internal system is like, oh, if you just smoke another cigarette, that'll fix it. Oh, if you just have a drink, that'll fix it. If you have two drinks, if you drink what that guy's drinking because what they're drinking looks better than what you're drinking. Oh, if you just do these drugs, if you just make more money, if you just sleep with this person, if you just drive this car, if you just get this thing that's outside of you and put it in you, it will fill this feeling of emptiness, this this void. And that has never fucking worked for me, you know. Capitalism does the same thing where it's like, oh, if you just buy more products, if you have more Apple products, if you have a better car, right? If you get something exterior and put it into you, it'll fill this longing, this sense of incompleteness, this deep sorrow that you have. That sorrow is not going to be fixed by anything external. No partner, no person, no amount of money, no object, no drug, no drink is ever going to fill that void. The only way, because that void is a sorrow about being born. It's legitimately like a sorrow about being born into a time-based 3D simulation, which is run by, where there is sadness and suffering, where there is you know, sickness, old age, and death, right? These are the constructs that we're working in, and there is sorrow there. There is sorrow about being born into a world where we were promised community and connectivity, and that doesn't exist, right? There's only individualism and a dog-eat-dog sort of capitalist mentality, right? And there are deep sorrows around this, and no amount of drugs, alcohol, or products is ever gonna fix that, right? There's this sorrow of being like, I am this massive spirit being put into this tiny physical body. Like, that is really difficult and painful. I have a really hard time with that even still. But, you know, it's okay because there are solutions and there are ways out of this. There are ways through this. And to realize that nothing external is ever going to fill that void, the only way that I've ever found to fill it is through an internal process of listening to myself, of connecting with myself, of like, magic is great for this because it connects me with like the universe, with nature, with something bigger than myself, right? And that's something that I can fill this void with when I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, spirit, help me, please guide me. Ancestors, please help me. Like, please guide me. What is the right course of action here? What is the next right thing? That's so much better than when I'm scrolling on my phone, like looking for products to buy in the middle of the night because I'm fucking lonely, right? Which doesn't help. You know, that's just even more triggering. You know, and so like through a practice of magic, through a practice of mindfulness, through a practice of meditation, I've found ways of being able to connect with myself and begin to fill this void from an internal space instead of constantly being in longing and seeking for something to fill it externally, which I still fall back into. I'm a human being. I'm still an addict, right? I just, you know, have found tools to manage these things. And when I'm in right relationship with myself and the world, I'm much better at it than, you know, when I'm like endlessly scrolling through Instagram thinking everybody's lives are better than mine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing all of that. I love that. And it's interesting, like, you know, you're talking about like filling the void, and I've spent time like reflecting in the last year of my life, like how many of those voids for me like stopped existing when I stopped drinking. And I, you know, I'm not 100%, although I'm pretty much at this point 100% sober. I guess like I made like a herbal infused champagne on Beltane, then like shared it with my landmates, and we all had like 4 ounces of it. But like for the most part, you know, I don't drink at all. I probably like sometimes use too much cannabis, but like, you know, it's interesting because I think back to when I was younger, and just, it was the idea of just like being, not being, you know, I like just being, like just being in my body and feeling my feelings for so like until my mid 30s, really, until I had like a major, you know, kind of like the rock or the, what do you call it? The, it's like the most basic expression. Rock bottom. Until you like hit rock bottom, you know, like it was like, if I couldn't drink, I would have to like smoke weed or like take, you know, abuse prescription pills or like have sex with someone randomly or like eat a cake or like, you know, it was just always something. And then if it was like, if they can't be anything, it was like, holy shit, like how do I get through this moment, you know? And I don't feel that way anymore at all. There's moments that it comes up, but for the most part, I don't ever feel that way. And I never thought I'd be able to say that. And so I don't know, I'm just kind of reflecting back like my experience.
Yeah.
I relate to that, you know, it's like that void is so big for so many of us. And the only person that's responsible for you dealing with that shit is you. And that is difficult. It is hard. Like you can't put it on anybody else. You can't blame anybody else. You know, there are people that cause us harm, that hurt us, that like create wounding. Like that goes back to Chiron. But in the end, like we are responsible for healing.
That's so real. That's so real, Karina.
Yeah.
And, you know, I totally agree. The thing, though, is that we don't have to do that healing alone, you know. Mm-hmm. There are other people that can help us. And if you look at mythology, if you look at fairy tale, if you look at any sort of hero's journey, any type of story, the hero never does it by themselves. No one has ever done anything by them damn self, you know. Everybody is helped by some sort of character. Some witch or wizard or little mouse or fish or crab, singing crab like Sebastian, right? Something always comes along to provide aid as we go through our underworld journey, as we go through our hero's journey, as we go through our life journey. So don't be thinking that you have to do this on your own, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, we are responsible for healing ourselves, for noticing our wounds, for noticing our patterns, and for shifting them. But we don't have to do that on our own. And there are people who are there to provide support, whether it's mental health professionals, whether it's drug and alcohol counselors, whether it's friends, whether it's people in the program, whether it's your tarot readers or astrologers, you know. And it's important that we enter into consensual relationships with these people, not to just put our baggage on them, but there are people who are there to support us and help us as we go through this journey. Because for real, I'm gonna say it again, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also I just want to speak to this point of that difficulty of being with the self and being in the moment. I resonate with that on such a deep level. And I totally resonate with that story of being like, I need to be drunk, and like, I need to be smoking weed, or I need to be doing these pills, or I need to be doing anything I possibly can to get away from myself. And like, what's that about? Like, I still don't know. Like, what is that about? Like, why is it so difficult to just be here? You know? Somebody said this thing to me years ago, just randomly on the street after, I think I was coming out of an AA meeting, but there were like, anything that we put between ourselves and the hard edge of reality, we would cling to for dear life. And that phrase has always really struck me, you know, and I think that's really true, but why is the edge of reality so hard? What is that story that we're telling ourselves about, like, I can't be here, I can't do this, I don't like this, I've got to get out of here? Why that story? What about, let's lean into it. What does it feel like to be here? Isn't that curious to be in this body? Isn't that curious to be in this moment? Like, oh, let me just focus on my breath. What does it feel like to be breathing? What does it feel like to be here? Isn't that weird? You know, instead of being like, get me out of here, I gotta run, take it away, stop. You know, it's like, the thing that I've realized is that this experience is short. It will be over, you know. 80, 90 years, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, that is nothing. That is a blink of an eye in the grand scheme of things, you know? Yeah. And this is a short experience, which is a gift. In my belief in like evolutionary astrology, in my cosmology, we have chosen to be here to learn lessons, to like go through this simulation so that our souls can evolve, right? That's just a story that I'll tell. Buy it if you want to, retell it, whatever. If you don't buy it, that's up to you. But you know, that framework, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can be here because I chose this. I can be here because this will be over someday. And let me make the most of this experience and find learning and joy in it instead of suffering and pain. And so that's a way that I'm trying to look at the world these days.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love, one thing that I love about you, and like, you know, people should go and follow your Instagram. And I've told you this before, like, you make really funny videos. I always get depressed when I watch your videos. And when people are like, they're so funny, what a goof. Like, because then people will be like, Jonah is such a goof. And I'm like, Jonah is so depressed. Like, I can like feel it in the video, you know, because I feel like, you know, you have this beautiful way of like, making things that are extremely like shadow worky, you know, like real depths of like despair, like, yeah, just like the really like the kind of like depths of our psyches, you have this way of making that funny, you know, like, and I love that. Like, I think it's really cool because it's not, the way that you do it is like, it's funny, but it doesn't take away from the truth of it. And I think that's really powerful, because if you're just trying to joke about things, you know, all the time, like the proverbial you, not you, but if people are just joking, you can like tell what the background behind that joke is. Is it a dismissive joke? You know, because you know those people that will like joke, but you know, they'll be like, oh, haha, like it's so hard for you. You know, they'll say something, but you're like, behind that is some judgment. Like, you're making a joke, but you're really judging me and you're judging everyone else. But you have this way of making things funny while like highlighting just how terrible it is to be a human being in a body, you know. And I love that.
Right on. Well, you totally get it, you know. And this is one of the reasons that I love you, is you totally get it, you see through it. And for me, you know, I'm just at this place where I'm like, okay, it's either excruciating or it's, you know, hilarious, right? It's hilarious that it's excruciating. Yeah. I could be like, I can look at it in a way and be like, okay, like, we're here, let's make the most out of it. You know, and if you were to watch my Instagram videos, I have like googly eyes glued onto all the objects in my room while I'm in quarantine, right? While I'm sheltering in place. And I have all these homies that I hang out with. And, you know, this really like animistic world of like, you know, a salt lamp and a can of soup that have googly eyes. You know, my plants all have eyes on them. And right, like I can face this situation through levity and through humor, not to ignore the depth of it, not to ignore what's actually happening, but being like, hey, you know, this is also funny. This can also be funny. We can treat this with humor. And I think humor is great magic, in the sense of taking situations, taking something that's threatening or scary or painful and being able to transform that and alchemize it. Because if you laugh, if you really laugh, like when you're like belly laughing and you're crying, it is so healing. You know, your body relaxes, like endorphins are released, you know. And I think it's really valuable. And that's a way that I'm able to express myself creatively. Also, the way that I deal with the world, because literally, like, if you're, I feel like if I'm not able to laugh, then I'm going to cry all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. And that sort of brings me to this point, or it's something that I've been thinking about as we're all in quarantine and shelter in place or whatever, you know, different states are different, but as there is a pandemic ravaging the entire world and we're all asked to be inside, it's sort of like everybody has hit rock bottom altogether. This is like, this is like your intervention. Welcome to your intervention, right? You're just like, people have been taken out of their normal lives where they are able to like separate from themselves, like through work or through activities or through hanging out with people, and all of a sudden have been thrown into their room and just been like, now be with yourself, good luck, right?
Yeah.
And that's some hardcore shit, right? That's stuff that I've been working on for 6 years in sobriety with a community, you know, with people supporting me, and being able to do it in a slow process. And all of a sudden, like, everybody is having to do that on their own with very little support, you know, with very little information about what's actually going on, with a lot of fear and insecurity and economic insecurity. So I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up and say that my heart goes out to fucking everybody, because this is, it's a really difficult place to be. And it's hard to find support in that when you're like, I don't know what's going on. And when you're like, I don't actually know how to be with myself, because no one's ever trained us to do this. Everybody has trained us to get away from ourselves. In school, in work, in the media, in everything that we do, we're trained to get the fuck away from ourselves as fast as we can. And now we're being asked to just sit with ourselves, and that is difficult. So I just wanted to name that, acknowledge that.
Yeah, absolutely. When I first heard about shelter in place in March, my first thing, yeah, that was the first thing. I didn't think about, you know, obviously you think about the people who are getting sick and dying of COVID, but then there's the other layer of people that are isolated and, you know, are going through addiction, you know, trying to like deal with their addictive patterns, trying to deal with their depression with like all their traumas, their triggers, like people that have eating disorders, like there's just domestic violence. Like there were so many things that came up that were like, this is all going to be, and then we have like state sanctioned violence, you know, we have like the continued, you know, police brutality and violence against Black and Brown folks. Like there's just so many other layers to what's going on right now that are coming out about, you know, the pain and both the, you know, the personal things that we go through, the interpersonal things, and the, you know, what's happening actually at a state level, like the state sanctioned violence. So there's so much to consider with the times that we're living in.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of this is, I think, related to what started with the Pluto-Saturn conjunction and then continues with Jupiter-Pluto conjunction. Jupiter also in Capricorn and really exposing the failings of the systems and structures that we've been functioning in. And this is both, you know, governmental systems, larger systems, and then personal internal systems. You know, the great magical adage, as above, so below, as above, right? That, through, you know, we are microcosms of larger systems, be that planetary, cosmic, or governmental. And it's, you know, we need to uproot the ways in which we have internalized capitalism, internalized misogyny, internalized racism, you know, in ourselves. To be able to clean that in a larger system. And this is one of the things that I think is really interesting as we're going through this really dramatic period of change and upheaval, is that I think we're moving away from a hierarchical system, a top-down system, where, you know, we're like, dad, tell me that I'm okay. Boss, tell me that I'm okay. You know, governor, tell me that I'm okay. President, tell me that I'm okay. Feed me, give me money, right? That we're trying to impress like some dude who's higher up than us, mm-hmm. like all the way up the ladder to bearded sky man god, right? And we're moving into, hopefully moving into horizontal lateral structures where we are supporting each other. And undoing these systems of like trickle-down economics and trickle-down like whatever, and looking at how these systems are corrupt and bankrupt and, you know, not really serving the populace, and then rearranging that to being like, okay, like how can I create systems of mutual aid? How can I help make people feel safe in their bodies, in their spaces, and around me? How can I be supportive of other people? How can I be supportive of differences and diversity, right? What can I do to contribute back to my community and to larger communities instead of being like, oh, like the man is going to pay me. The man is going to keep me safe. The man is going to make it all okay. Because like, I don't believe in that shit.
Hell no.
I believe in us working together, not like some dude taking care of me and me giving my power to that dude so like I can be supported. Like, fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. So we're go ahead.
And then yeah, it's just, you know, being able to like be with ourselves and our community and being like, okay, like what can I do to be supportive? Like, is it donating money to, you know, the Navajo Nation so that they can be fighting the COVID outbreak in their community? Is it, you know, collecting unemployment so I can give that to all like the witches and that I support? Is it, you know, donating that money to food pantries so that people can have enough to eat? Like, what are the, you know, and I don't have any of the fucking answers, you know, and these are like, it's all an individual thing and what feels right for people, like what resources people are able to contribute and how. You know, and maybe it's just like donating food, maybe it's donating money, maybe it's calling your friends and checking on them. But like, how can we begin to form a lateral structure where of mutual aid, where we're all caring for each other instead of, letting our power, like giving our power away. All right, the end.
I love it. No, thank you, Jonah. So we are coming on to an hour. So I really wanted to just, you know, I feel like we covered so much and I'm so grateful to have this conversation with you. I feel like we have these conversations a lot, but I'm like grateful to be able to share this conversation. So is there anything that you wanted to talk about or say that like we didn't get to today?
So much, but hopefully, but I can just call you later and we can talk about it then.
Yeah, totally. So how can, if people are like, you know, I'm sure lots of people are inspired by you right now, and how can folks connect with you or like learn more about your offerings and like book a reading?
Great. I hope people are inspired by this. And I'd love to hear from people. If they are, you can find me on my Instagram at Blind Stallion Space Wizard. Yes, you heard that right, folks. Blind Stallion Space Wizard. And I have a tarot practice up there where I make 1 minute videos dealing with a card of the week and do a lot of writing. This past week has been about Venus's retrograde. So you can check that out. And you can book readings through my DMs there. So you can just slide up in my DMs and holler at your wizard. I also got a website where you can book readings, which is campwizardcamp.com. Campwizardcamp.com. And you can book a reading there. Right now, because everybody is out of work and the world's ending, I'm doing all of my readings sliding scale. So if you need some support or you want some guidance in these trying and turbulent times, please feel free to reach out. I feel very strongly that people should not have to choose between food and mental health. So I'm willing to work with you for whatever you can work with. So please don't let money be a concern, because I have a sneaking suspicion that money is not real. And I just want to be able to support people. I'm also, and I do tarot and astrology readings. I'm also starting I have a coaching practice, which is coaching people around substance abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, recovery, behavioral addiction, whatever. And you can holler at me either through my website or through Instagram, and we can have a conversation and see if we're a good fit. And that's an ongoing practice. And again, that's all sliding scale too. So that's an offering that I got. And then what else? What else do I do? I got a radio show, that's on SoundCloud at campwizardcamp.com or SoundCloud Camp Wizard Camp. And I got a Patreon. I drop a lot of content there, including tarot readings. I got a weekly astro weather report. You can find the radio show there. And that's www.patreon.com/campwizardcamp. And yeah, there's some cool stuff up there. All of my offerings you can get for less than the price of a sandwich. I think $8 is my the highest tier, and that's a guided meditation along with all the other stuff that I drop. So I think that's pretty much what I'm doing, and that's where you can find me.
And your podcast with Amalia, the Stallion.
Oh, snap. Thank you. Yeah, and I have a bi-monthly podcast that comes out around the lunation, the new moon, and the full moon called The Stallion and the Hare, and that's with Amalia Scott of The Hare and the Moon, who is an excellent astrologer. And, you know, if you need astrology and you don't want to come to me, I recommend, highly recommend her. But yeah, we talk about the lunation. We do a listener mail question. So if you have questions about astrology, please feel free to write in stallionandthehare@gmail.com. And then, yeah, we talk about all the transits coming up. And so, yeah, I love that podcast. And it seems like it's been helpful for a lot of people. So if you need another podcast, feel free to check that one out, The Stallion and the Hare. And
yeah, you're reminding me. Yeah, I love your all's podcast. I listen to it pretty regularly. Well, thank you so much, Jonah. I'm so, like, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for doing this podcast with me. And thanks for just, like, being you and you know. I'm very grateful that you are in the world.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much. It was, it's an honor to be your friend, and it was a real pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for asking me to be on this today. And it was great talking with you.
Of course. Listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review in iTunes and check out www.riseupgoodwitch.com for more information about tarot readings and the apothecary.